Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for another episode of Just a Bit Outside with your hosts, Stark and Massaro.
Way back! Blue Jays win it! Touch of all, Joe! Brett Favre! Touchdown! Green Bay! Bless you, boys! What a game!
We are live. Welcome to the show that gives you winners, losers, and everything in between. Plus, we break down everything in the sports world, from golf majors to the XFL. Now, this week, as you're listening, you're going to realize I'm solo. I'm on my own. Sans mic, as they might say. It's kind of like having your own late night radio show. If you had a long drive and you had to put on whatever local show was on, and it's a guy by himself. Just talking and yelling out sports hot takes and taking calls and dealing with angry callers. So that's what I'm doing. No angry callers, though, but I'll still try to fire off some hot takes on everything going on in the sports world. I kind of always wanted to do a little radio show or be a radio guy, I guess I should say, kind of like Howard Stern or Bob McCowan, kind of yelling at callers and spitting out fire. So that's what I'm going to try to mimic this after and try to have some fun with it, because a lot did go on in the sports world this past week, and I think it'll be great for me to discuss. And we do have a lot of great sports to discuss, including the NHL Conference Finals with McDavid and McKinnon. NBA Finals are set with the Warriors and Celtics. Sam Burns wins in a playoff. The Jays sweep the Angels, and the Champions League crowns a new champion. Now, this past week, great weather here in the GTA, so I was out golfing. I have a Wednesday night men's league, and things went great that night. I shot a 77, which is really good for me, and I was humming along. And when you're playing a good round, you, as much as you try not to, you end up counting your strokes. You know where you stand. I'm two over. I'm three over. Oh, just made a birdie, back to two over. So you kind of have that number, and you know, okay, if I par the next three and get to the end here, here's what my number's going to be. It's like always in your head. And I guess that's what all golfers do. They're thinking about what's going to happen next. So then fast forward to Sunday, I get out for my Sunday morning round. I'm still playing great. I don't know what it is. I feel like I went to the range and I just did one little change of my wrist when I take it back. And for whatever reason, that's working great now. Now it helps. I think I've been putting well as well. So that's always a positive, because when you get yourself in trouble and you can make a 5 or 6 footer for par, it's going to help your scorecard in the end. So Sunday morning, I get out there and it's the same. I'm playing great. I shot a 39 on the front, which is pretty good for me again. And I'm humming along and I'm starting to do it. I'm starting to count the strokes and figure out, okay, I know I can par this hole. I got a birdie chance on number 12. I think I can get it there in two. And all the things that you start thinking about, your brain starts going as you're playing the golf game. And I was doing that, but this time it just threw me for a loop. And I blew up two triples, a double. So I had the amazing 39-47 golf round. Woof. A tale of two nines is what we could call it. I just couldn't get it together. It's like whatever I was doing on the front nine was completely gone now on the back, and I was just out there on my own. cool thing, though, I saw Owen Power out on the course. Now, Owen Power was the first overall draft pick to the Buffalo Sabres. He played the World Juniors. He played the Olympics for Canada, played the World Championships, got into a few games with the Buffalo Sabres at the end of this year. He's massive. You could not miss him. We were on the 12th tee, which is right beside the 3 tee. So it's one of those ones where, you know, you look at each other and you say, okay, you guys go hit first and then we'll hit. So I look over and there's this 6'6 guy, ripped, long hair. You know, these young guys got like the short shorts on now that are showing every single muscle in their quads, something I can't pull off. And he's got a Team Canada hat on. So we let his group hit off. And I'm like, I think I recognize that guy. Sure enough, after a couple looks at him, I'm like, that's got to be Owen Power. Mississauga boy. We're golfing here in Oakville. And it was him. And lefty, shoots lefty, which I think a lot of hockey players do when they pick up a golf club, shoot the same way that you shoot a hockey stick. I don't do that. I shoot a hockey stick left and a golf club right. I hit a baseball bat left. I'm a mess. But he had a nice little stroke, got it on the green on the par three, so it was cool to see. And, you know, me and my buddies were just talking like, this guy, you know, he's going to be a stud. He's going to be a millionaire. He's going to be on all the TV shows or TV commercials and all over the broadcast. He's going to be a star one day. And here he is just out playing a round of golf with a buddy and his dad. So that was really cool. And kind of speaking of Owen Power, it made me think, my first thought was like, what's he doing here? Shouldn't he be playing in the World Championships? Because he played in the World Championships a year ago. But I guess with everything that had gone on and he'd done the World Juniors, which got shut down, he did the Olympics. Who knows if he's going to go back to the World Juniors, which is being played again in August of this year. Probably not, since he'll be getting ready for the NHL, but he could. He decided not to go. So that Sunday was the World Championship gold medal game. And it's awesome to see. I love seeing the Canadians going over there. You don't make the playoffs. You have a disappointing year. You get knocked out early. You can go over there and keep your season going. And it looks like an awesome time. It's always in Europe. The guys all get together. Of course, they're probably partying their asses off over there. But they did really well. It's always a slow start for them just to get gelled together, as a lot of these national teams maybe have played a lot together already. Their seasons are already done, so they're training. This is just, they mash these guys together and say, put on this Canada jersey and get out there. Go represent your country. So they had two amazing come-from-behind wins. One was, come-from-behinds, I should say, as they lost in the gold medal. The first one was in the quarterfinals, down three with, I think, less than 3 minutes left. Come back, tie it up, and win it in overtime, which was great. Made their way to the gold medal game. Some questionable refereeing. Now, you know you're going to get that in international hockey. You always do. The Finnish guy high sticks himself in the face and they call a penalty on it. It's bad. And then the Canadian goaltender, Drieger, gets hurt. He's got to leave. Things aren't looking good. They pull their goalie down by two. 2 minutes left. They pot two goals to force it to overtime. Crowd's on an absolute low. It was in Finland, so they went quiet, and the Canadians were jacked up. And they get to overtime. Another bad call where the Finnish player dives. Yes. Dubois should not have had his stick anywhere near him. It was kind of between his legs, but the guy just falls and dives. You could have called a trip and an embellishment, but they didn't. And of course, the Finns score in overtime. Good for them, though. I think first team in the longest time to win the gold medal at the Olympics and the gold medal at the World Championships in the same year. So good for them. They do it at home. One of those countries where they're not the top powerhouse. You know, you got Canada. U.S. has obviously climbed up over the last 10 or so years. You got the Russians who have been studs, and when they put their best team together, they're a top team. Sweden, they've won big medals, but Finland's kind of been that third, fourth, fifth team, depending on what's going on with the Czechs and Slovakia. So it's nice to see them win. Happy for them. It was pretty cool to see, and that rink was going insane when they scored that overtime winner. Great for hockey, and it's a good little tournament to follow, all day games. So always interesting to watch the World Championships, see what guys go over there. A lot of young players for Team Canada that have hopes and dreams of playing for Canada the Olympics or the World Cup down the road. So this is their in, and good for them. And the boys will come home with a silver medal, and that's pretty good. So I was happy to see that, watch that this weekend. It was great. So, but hey, I got the T5 coming up. I'm going to rally and get through it all. So stick around for our T5 coming up right after this break.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As I record this tonight, Game 7 between the Rangers and Hurricanes is underway. But we are already looking ahead to the conference finals in the NHL, and that will be our T1. The Battle of Alberta wasn't the war we were anticipating, and Connor McDavid is taking the Oilers to the conference finals against Nathan MacKinnon and the Colorado Avalanche. While in the East, the Lightning are waiting to find out who they will play in Game 1 later this week. But I want to start with Game 7 coming up, and I know as you're probably listening to this, it's over. You know who won, but I'm going to give you my take before the game even starts. And I think I like the Rangers in this game. When it's a Game 7, always take the better goalie. Shesterkin, he's kind of figured something out in his game after a tough first round. While Ranta, he was pulled in Game 6 for the Hurricanes, and now he's going to have to go into a Game 7? No thanks. His confidence is going to be low. He's not going to feel like he's got the game to himself. He knows one or two bad ones off the hop here, and Rod the Bod Brind'Amour is going to be pulling me and getting me out of this game. So I got to be on my toes early. And sometimes that pressure mounted with the Game 7 initial pressure is going to be too much for a goalie, and that concerns me. I think I like the Rangers offensively. They can get it done. We saw them win a Game 7 in the first round, and now they got the chance to do it again. I think that's great. I'm going for the Rangers. You can even get them at plus money, I think, tonight, so that is even better, more enticing to go after them. So I like the Rangers in that one. Moving on to play the Lightning. Now, talking about the Western Conference Finals, which we know is set, I am full out cheering for the Oilers now. I want McDavid. I want McDavid magic. I've been saying it all year to you guys. Stay up. It's worth it. Watch this Oilers team. They are so good and so fun to watch. Yes, they have an awful goaltender, but that kind of makes it more exciting. They let in goals, and they know they got to be more offensive to go get the lead, and that's what they do most of the time. And it's been great to see. I almost bought my son, I don't know if you've seen it, he's an Oilers fan, these McJesus shirts. They look really cool. The Oilers are obviously creating a ton of buzz here in Canada right now as the only Canadian team left, our only hope to get into the Stanley Cup and win it since the Canadians did in 1993. And the other reason I want this to happen is I'm so happy that we're going to see MacKinnon and McDavid against each other. Think about this. Gretzky and the Oilers, they kind of owned the 80s, right? The late 80s, that was all Oilers time, winning those cups and driving through. Mary Lemieux was just kind of starting to come up, and he was with a really bad Penguins team, and they were trying to build something. And then by the time Mario and the Penguins got really good, and they were winning their back-to-back cups in 90, 91, 92, somewhere around there. Wayne was just getting started with the Kings, trying to figure out that team, and he didn't get them to a Stanley Cup Finals until 93. So they never really got to face off against each other in the playoffs. So now we get this. We get McDavid and MacKinnon head-to-head, both Canadians, both stars that are desperate to win a cup.
5 minutes into overtime in Game 5, and McDavid scores! Game winner, series winner for Connor McDavid!
He's on his horse, powering through the speed burst. What's to Kelly? Oh my goodness, what a goal from Nathan McKinnon! Hat trick, baby!
Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. That's one of the best goals I've ever seen in playoff hockey right there.
Both of these guys have been robbed of playoff success. They've never really been able to get far. They've also been robbed of international success because of the issues with the NHL and the Olympics and no World Cup. They were on the North American under 23 team in the last World Cup. So they haven't had that chance to shine and let the national stage see these guys and be like, wow, these are elite athletes. So this is it. This is the time for them to shine. And both of them, I believe, are going to be ready to play. They're going to be battling, and it's going to be fast. It's going to be physical, and there's going to be a ton of goals. It's going to be a high-scoring series, and you can just feel it because of the top two lines on both teams are so good and so fast and all can score. So I don't think they're going to be able to do too much line matching it as they try to figure out who's going to shut each other down. Neither team has a good goalie. And I would suspect that the coaches are telling their players, shoot, shoot, shoot. Whenever you get in the slot with the puck, shoot it. These goalies are going to be shaky. They're going to be fearful of pucks bouncing off legs and getting in and letting up rebounds. So get the puck to the net. It's going to be a high scoring series, but that's what we want, especially with these two star players going head to head. It's going to be fun to watch. In the East, Tampa Bay, they're now got about 9 or 10 days off. They're a veteran team. They're going to use this to their advantage. They're going to get healthy. We know Point. No word on what's going on with him, if he's going to be able to come back or not. So maybe this rest will help him. Maybe he'll be able to get into a game, not play the full 15 minutes, but maybe be able to give you 6 good minutes, play some power play time. So that'll be interesting to see. You know the Lightning are working on some of the issues that they had and against the Leafs and then the Panthers. They're going to be prepared. They're going to prepare for both teams, not knowing who they're going to be playing against until technically tonight. But being honest, I really don't think the Rangers or the Hurricanes are much of a threat against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has the best goalie left in the playoffs. They have a solid two lines that can score, but it has been their back end that's been leading them in the playoffs. And Hedman will be able to handle the small forwards on either team. Rangers, Hurricanes, whoever it is, they got solid D. Tampa Bay's been running 7 defensemen, which usually, if you are a defenseman, you hate that. It just runs the rhythm out. When they're 6, you know who your partner is. You know when you're going. When they're 7, it's a little bit different. But these guys are blocking shots. They're killing penalties. And you know Hedman's going to play north of, 20 minutes, close to 25 every game. So he's going to need a couple breathers. Throw in that extra 7th defenseman. If someone gets hurt, you can spot them in too. So I think they've got a nice little groove going. And, with this Lightning team and their experience and winning 2 cups, I really can't see them losing now. I mean, maybe Colorado or Edmonton get real hot here and maybe get to the Stanley Cup a little bit early to rest up for them, maybe. But I just think Tampa Bay, it's theirs to lose a third Stanley Cup in a row. And it's just another reason to believe that the biggest series in the NHL playoffs this year was Tampa versus Toronto. Because maybe if Toronto had won that game 7 or even the game 6 to get to the next round, they'd be being talked about as the team that's to beat, the team that's going to take it all the way to the glory of winning the Stanley Cup. But I don't want to get back into that. It's still a wound for me. As the NHL conference finals begin, the NBA is about to start their finals, and that will be our T2. The Boston Celtics won a massive Game 7 on the road over the Miami Heat and will now make their first finals appearance since 2010, where they will face the dynasty that is clawing back to the top, the Golden State Warriors. But first, I just want to look back on the Game 7 from the other night man, is that Boston team gritty. And we've been saying it and how they got stars. Don't get me wrong, but they're not the elite guys in the league. And they've really gelled together. Tatum has just taken over as being the man in Boston and showing that he can play at a top level. They've been hurt by injuries and their stars have been hurt by injuries, but they're still finding ways to win. The guys off the bench are coming together and really bonding as a team. It seems like they really like each other. Miami had the lead in this series. Let's not forget it, but they just couldn't finish. Butler was banged up. Lowry's been hurt all year. It seems like a common theme in the NBA for the last little while now that as the playoffs get running on, a lot of these star players are banged up and hurt, and it's really affecting them. So in this game seven, Boston takes, you know, almost a 15-point lead, and Miami's got to battle back and find a way to get in the game, and they do. And by a minute left in the fourth quarter, they've got it tight, nice and close. They get the ball, 11 seconds left, down by two. Butler storms up the court and really had the rim to himself if he wanted to. He could have gone right there, laid it up, and tied the game. But he pulled up and shot the three. Now, some would say, oh, this was selfish. He's trying to be a hero. But I don't think so. He's your best player. He's your star player. He's got the ball with the chance to win the game.
Butler, he can tie for the lead. Loose and Horford. Gonna have to foul. They do. Butler had a clean.
Let him take that shot. Now, some are saying he doesn't shoot a lot of threes. So what? He's an NBA player. He's good enough. He can make that shot. Just a little bit short off the front of the rim. I'm sure if he could do it again, he probably would make it. But you can't say in a game seven, oh, I wish my star player hadn't taken that shot to win the game. That's what you want. Think about the Raptors. We had Kawhi hit that huge shot in game seven over Philly that bounced and went in. That's what you want. You want your star players doing that. So I have no problem with Butler doing that. I hope he doesn't get a lot of flack. He played great. Lowry, on the other hand, former Raptor, he was clearly upset. This guy's a competitor. He is always battling in there, blocking players, taking those charges. And in the press conference after the game, he said, this is a waste of a season. I play to win championships and that's it. That's the only reason I'm in it for. Man, you want to hear that. You want someone on your team saying that. And that is why, as much as Kawhi was the one that took the Raptors over the top, Lowry was the glue. He was the guy in the dressing room getting everyone going. He was the guy that was, you know, bringing that energy every night that brought the rest of the players into it. So hats off to Lowry. I think he'll still be able to help this Miami team next year. I'm sure he's disappointed. I think the Miami team is still good, but he's getting a little bit older, so we'll see what Lowry's got left. So now the Celtics got to go to the NBA Finals, and they're playing Golden State, and Golden State is the team to beat, man. Curry, Thompson, they're averaging over 25 points per game in the playoffs. Green, he's going to be aggressive in this series. Green versus the Boston fans. That's going to be the thing to watch in this series because you know those Boston fans. They're the, you know, bad mouth, yell at anyone, say anything to all these players. Look what they were doing to Kyrie Irving. They're going to get right in Green's grill. They're going to be taunting him. You know there's going to be a technical where Green is just giving the double bird to all the Boston fans. It's coming for sure, and that's what I want to see. I'm pulling for Golden State, though. I like the idea of dynasties. I like the idea of this dynasty being a team that was winning all the time, almost 5 years straight, all the time. And then they have this break of two or three years where injuries and other things and COVID shut them down. They just couldn't get it going. Now they got a chance to go on another run. Could it be another 3-4 year run where Golden State owns it? Essentially, you would be having to talk about two separate dynasties of this Warriors team. And that's great. You want that type of talk in your league. And Golden State's the team that could possibly do it. Curry, a really likable guy. Thompson, super enjoyable to watch. Shoots better than anyone else in the NBA, except for maybe his teammate Curry. So those guys are fun to watch. They're going to put on a show. Golden State will be rocking. They got that new building. I'm pulling for them. Plus, they got Andrew Wiggins. Although he was not named to Team Canada this summer for their qualification, and that's a whole different story, which I'm not really going to get into my thoughts on that just yet, but I want to see him succeed. And this is the perfect spot for him. He is not the star player that can just take a team on his own. He needs to be one of the guys in there. And he showed that he is a great little extra piece for those top three guys on the Warriors team. And he can do some damage too and go on a run and get you a bunch of points that's going to help and score some big baskets. We saw that in the playoffs already. So for me, he's a Canadian kid. He's number one overall pick. We don't get that too often. So I'm pulling for him. I hope he has some success out there. But listen, I'm a hockey guy, right? I love watching the NBA playoffs. It's exciting, right? But let me say this. As a hockey guy, the best thing in sports is the handshake line after the NHL playoff series is over. They line up, they shake hands, you know, one team kind of happy but trying to hold it in, the other team just devastated and gutted and you know, they're sweating, maybe bleeding, they got the big playoff beer, they know they're shaving off that night. Basketball, I don't quite get it. Watching that game 7 between Boston and Miami the other night after the Celtics beat the Heat, it is a tight game. It came right down to the end. Both teams were hugging each other, doing secret handshakes with each other. I mean, I was shocked to see how excited the Heat players were for Boston players winning. Like, almost like, hey, good for you. Go get them. Yeah, that was awesome. That was fun. It was weird. It was weird to see. Like, yeah, shake the guy's hand, say good series, but do we need the secret handshake in the middle of the court while the, you know, Boston's about to get the Eastern Conference trophy and celebrate? It was weird and I just didn't like it. Shake their hands and get off the court. It's over, Miami, you're done. 2 weeks in a row, we have seen epic comebacks on the PGA Tour, and this week it was Sam Burns, and that will be our T3. The Charles Schwab this past weekend was at one of the toughest courses in America, the Colonial, and it did not hold back on Sunday, taking down everyone on the leaderboard until two men were tied, forcing a playoff, where Sam Burns nailed a 38-foot putt for the win.
Made a long putt for birdie here in round three. Did he make another one? Yes, he did! Ho-ho! Tell the speed was good. It looked like it just might miss left, but the hole gets all of it. Oh. Well, now we know exactly what we need to do if you're Davis Riley.
Burns finished his round. He was 9 under, and he finished at 4:47 p.m. He had a chance to get to 10, and I thought if he gets to 10, maybe he got a playoff, but he couldn't pull it off. And really, at the time, there was four guys at 10. One was at 11, Riley. He completely crashed and burned. So I was thinking, 9's not good enough. Great job. You're the leader in the clubhouse for now, but it doesn't look like you're going to get there. So too bad, so sad. And then all these guys start falling off the leaderboard, and Burns reemerges at 6:18. So 4:47, he finishes. 6:18, they show him coming out of the clubhouse, going to the driving range to start getting ready. I don't know what I would do in that situation. You obviously can't hit balls the whole time. I'm sure he's had a bite to eat. He's getting stretched out. Maybe see the chiropractor. Maybe have a light walk on a treadmill. I don't know what he's doing. He's not smashing beers and eating chicken wings, that's for sure. And then he's got to go back out and essentially do his full warm-up to get himself going, while the leaderboard is just falling apart. And it was all really due to the wind. The wind just picked up, and the challenges that this course already gives these players in the back nine, it was just a mess. And it caused everyone to fall off. Now, Scheffler, he was one of those guys, minus 10 the whole time, dropped to minus 9, got back to minus 10. And he was the one I was worried about. I was like, if he just birdies one more, I think he's going to win this no problem. Now, when Scheffler hits the ball, every shot from the fairway, it just looks chunky to me. Like when I see it and the turf is flying in the air, my first thought is, oh, he chunked that one. But no, he powers through it. He's got that sliding back leg, and it's always a perfect shot. He is clearly the number one player in the world, as he was, and he was the only one that was able to kind of stick with the leaders at the end here on the Sunday, and he had a decent back nine that got him into the playoffs. Now, on 17, as he's coming up, and he knows what the leaders are at, where he's got to be, his counterparts are all falling off. On 17, his birdie putt goes long, like far enough past the hole that everyone's like, ooh, now he's got a tough one to come back to even just to save his par, or he might miss the playoff altogether and we'll be crowning Burns, who finished 3 hours ago. And I've been there before. You know, you blow your birdie putt past. I mean, when you have a long birdie putt, you're obviously trying to make it, but really you're like, hey, let's just get this close enough that my buddy's like, yeah, that's good, Stark, pick it up. But if you blow it past and you looking around and everyone's tight-lipped and you're like, damn it, now I got this five-footer back for par. It's the worst feeling out there. But for him, no problem. He made the par, moved on to 18. 18 was awesome. I thought 18 last week was dramatic. But this week, they're all tied coming up. Scotty has to choose. What do I do? Do I go for it, get the birdie to win, risking a bogey to lose? Or do I play it safe, get the par, go to the playoff, and see if I can take on this guy who hasn't even picked up a club in 2 hours? It's kind of golf's version of a game seven. Last hole, what are you going to do? You win, you lose, or are we going on to a playoff? And of course, he pars it, kind of played it safe, and goes to the playoff. Only one hole. We talked about last week how the majors have the three-hole playoff and how much we love that. But just one, fine, let's do it. Burns and Scheffler apparently are best friends. They lived together, rented a house at the Masters this year, and now they have to go head-to-head for the tournament win. And when you're playing a buddy in golf, you just want someone to win it. You don't want someone to miss a three-footer and lose. You want someone to really win the hole. And that's what happened here. Burns just did not disappoint. He slammed that 38-foot putt in for a birdie from the fringe. And Scheffler, I mean, what could he do? He just smiled and said, you know, good putt to his buddy as he walked by. I thought it was great. And they gave a big hug at the end. And good for Burns, who was seven strokes back. And he's now second in the FedEx Cup standings behind his good buddy Scheffler. It was great. Scheffler, funny enough, he was supposed to be at a wedding. So I don't know why he was in this tournament, maybe due to a sponsor obligation, but his sister-in-law was getting married, his wife's sister. And he maybe thought, maybe I'll miss the cut, or maybe I'll have to tee off early on Sunday. But no, he's in the final group. He's got to go through the whole 18 holes. He's got to play the playoff and then literally jump in the car and race like an hour and a half, 2 hours away to the wedding. Lucky enough, the tournament was close by. And I saw pictures today. He was there in time for the party, and pretty good way to show up at a party after finishing second at a PGA event. Pretty cool. But the wind was the big factor here this week, obviously. I guess Texas is always windy. I didn't really know that about it, but hence the name for the Texas wedge when putting from off the green. I like that one. I had some dough on Burns, so I was kind of cheering for bogeys from the 13th hole on. It was a weird viewing experience for me, but I knew that the wind was going to cause trouble and that Burns kind of had a chance. And those players just start falling apart. Look at poor Harold Varner. His back nine cost him a lot of money. I was talking about my 39-47. This guy went 33 on the front, 45 on the back. It sounds crazy to believe that a PGA player could have that much discrepancy, a 12-shot discrepancy between those two nine holes, but really not totally his fault. He had to wait over 15 minutes to chip his ball onto the green on 13 as Stalling had to get multiple different drops. He was kind of manipulating the rules a little bit. Say, well, if I drop over here, there's a drain. If I drop here, there's a FedEx Cup sign. And somehow he ended up all the way over on the right-hand side with a nice little view on the green. So they got to figure out a quicker way to get these guys, get their balls back in play and get them hitting. Having a rules official, I think, with each group is the first step, but it's not quite there just yet. Poor Varner then, he's waiting, he's laughing, he's stretching, he was yawning in the fairway. He ends up triple bogeying that hole. He goes to the next hole, par three, and he puts it in the water. His day was over. Felt bad for him there, but you know, what can you do? The other thing that was discussed on the broadcast I thought was weird, and they talked about it too at the PGA, is, ooh, do these players scoreboard watch? Do they know where they are? Do they know what's going on and when the leaderboard's collapsing? Yeah, of course they do. They look for these leaderboards. You got to know what you're doing out there. You got to know where you stand. Do I need to birdie the last two holes? I'm going to play them differently. Like, you'd be kicking yourself if your caddy or you didn't look at the scoreboard and you just went par, par, par in and you said, oh my God, lost by two strokes. Why didn't I go for it? I mean, think about it. The NFL, they know the score. They know, do I just kick a field goal and tie it? Or do I need to go for a touchdown, two-point conversion? Like, it'd be silly to kick a field goal when down by seven with a minute left. No, you got to go for the touchdown. Just like these guys, they got to go for it. So it was a weird thing I keep hearing on the broadcast about, you know, I wonder if these guys are looking at the, yeah, they're looking at the board. They should know what's going on, and they should affect their play that way. It was a bounce back for the Toronto Blue Jays this week, and that will be our tee for the Jays. Won 5 of 6 games this week, including a 4-game sweep of the AL West leading, at the time, LA Angels. 7-3 in their last 10, and the Jays are now moving in the right direction. Still sitting third in their division, but that's okay. They're in one of the wild card spots right now, and they just need to find their game that's going to get them going. The Blue Jays have got those bats going, and it really started out this weekend. On their 5-game winning streak that they're currently on, they scored 35 runs. That's the Blue Jays that we know. We know that they can score runs, and they're finally getting it going. It's been a weird month of, ooh, are these guys just pretenders? What happened to all the hype? Is Bo Bichette really a superstar? Can Vladdy be an MVP at some point? Yeah, they can. And Bichette showed it. He hit a monster home run to center field on Sunday while the team was down 10-9 to help them with the comeback win. Great to see. That's what you need. You're never out of it when you have that good of offense.
Hit in the air to deep center field. Trout going back. It is gone! Bye-bye Bichette with a big blast. And we're tied. 10-10.
Confidence is now starting to show. The team needed this road trip to find their groove. They split in St. Louis, a 2-game series, and then sweep of LA. Perfect. Now they get to come back home and really figure it out and get on even more of a groove as they start to play some tougher teams. But the Angels, I mean, this was a team that's been talked about this year of, hey, maybe they found something. Maybe they can get to the playoffs, finally having Trout in the playoffs. That's been all the talk. And Ohtani, he pitched the one night. Vladdy didn't care. Home run off of him. It was MVP contender against MVP contender. And that's what you want to see. Toe-to-toe, two of the best. And Vladdy won that one. But, you know, Ohtani, he gets his revenge. 2 home runs on Sunday. The guy's a star. I mean, we don't see a ton of them here on the East Coast. But it's great to watch because he's pitching, he's hitting. You don't see that anywhere else. So it's really cool to see this guy just dominate on both sides of the field. And he's a great player. I am pulling for the Angels. I want them in there. Now, the only concern I have with the Blue Jays right now was Barrios. He only pitched 2 1/3 innings on Sunday, giving up 6 runs on 6 hits. The Jays need him to be a reliable pitcher. Not this one good start, 2 bad ones, 2 good ones, a half decent one. He needs to be their horse. That's why they traded for him. That's why they signed him. And right now, they just can't trust him. And they won't be able to trust him in big games come down the stretch and hopefully into playoffs unless he starts turning it around. 10 starts this year. He's 3-2 with a 5.62 ERA. Let's hope that he's healthy. It's not an injury problem. And that Pete Walker, pitching coach for the Jays, can work with him, find what the problem is, and fix it. Because we need him going 5, 6, 7 innings, not these 2-inning games. You can't have that anymore. It really kills the bullpen. So looking back, we're at the end of May now. The Jays got 13 wins this month, not the 15 wins that I always say that they need. You need 15 wins a month. So they're going to have to play catch up here. They're going to need a couple 16s or 17 down the road to get back to that groove of getting over 90 wins, which I think will be the sweet spot to get in the playoffs. But it was a good finish to the month. They can build on it. They head home to play 3 games against the White Sox, who are 2nd in the Central, but are a 500 ball club. And then 3 against the Twins, who lead the Central with a 29-19 record. It's going to be a big challenge for this Blue Jays team, but you know, they sat Vladdy on Sunday to rest him a little bit, sore wrist or something, but I think it was more, hey, we got the series already, let's see if we can get a win here on Sunday, fly home, got the day off on Monday, and then we'll get them going against these big teams from the Central that are coming in. So I like the Blue Jays right now to get hot. I think that they're a team that other teams are going to be watching now that they've kind of found their bats a bit. So Blue Jays, this is a big month for you. June needs to be your month. Make some hay, get in a really good spot before the All-Star break in July. Champions were crowned in the Champions League this weekend, and that will be our T5.
And they will get one last opportunity from this free kick.
Oh, they won't.
No, they won't. Full-time whistle. Real Madrid are the European champions for the 14th time, and Liverpool's treble dreams are ended here in Paris.
Real Madrid held on to a 1-0 win over Liverpool on Saturday in the Champions League final, in one of the most anticipated finals in the history of football. The game was intense from the start after a delay of over 1 hour to begin the match due to the fans' late arrival. We can get into that after, but yet another Champions League title for Real Madrid. Clearly, they're the kings of Europe football. Madrid became the European champion for a record-extending 14th time, double the number of any other team on the continent after they beat Liverpool on Sunday. Brazilian winger Vinicius Jr. had the match winner after a close goal in the 59th minute. The star of the game, though, was Madrid goalkeeper Thibaut Courtois, who made breathtaking saves all on the Liverpool stars. Courtois was quoted as saying, "Today, nobody was going to get in my way. I was going to win a Champions League title no matter what." That's pretty cool. That's a guy we talked about having people on your team that you want. That's a guy you want on your team, especially in that goalkeeper position. It's great to see. But this might go down as the most grueling run to a title in the long history of Champions League, as Real beat PSG, defending champions Chelsea, and Manchester City in the knockout stages. That's a pretty good group of teams to beat on your way to the biggest football championship in the world. Liverpool, on the other hand, they got to be a little bit disappointed. I know I got a lot of Liverpool buddies who were pretty sad after that loss. They possess some of the great offensive talent assembled, but they failed to score a single goal in its three cup finals this season. Just disappointing, but you know they'll be back. They're the Dallas Cowboys or New York Yankees of soccer, and they'll fill that team up with superstars and have another chance. Now, the weird part was this game was delayed. It was delayed almost 37 minutes because of a disturbing scene outside the Stade de France stadium. UEFA blamed all the chaos on fans trying to get into the stadium without legitimate tickets. I didn't even know that was still a thing. Counterfeit tickets to get into a stadium. I figured everything's on your phone now. The barcodes had to be there. No more shady scalpers on the corner of Bloor selling you tickets to get into Maple Leaf Gardens. Those days are all gone, I thought. But apparently, these fans were getting fake tickets, thinking they were going to a game, having a bunch of beers before, and showing up saying, "No, you can't go in," and they were pissed. Fans were climbing fences to get in, while others barged their way past security and just started sprinting into the stadium. Riot police were called to prevent further disruption. I mean, how can you bring your family and kids to these games and feel safe? I'm being honest. I don't go to soccer games, but it seems like a common theme where this happens all the time. But there's no place for this in sports anymore. You're not a fan of the game if you're doing this. You're not a player either, so you don't need to be so jacked up and fighting people and going crazy in the stands. I mean, yeah, get there, enjoy yourself, have some beers, but don't think that you're bigger than the players or the game. The other thing I don't get is the fireworks and flares on the field. Like, how people don't get hurt more at these soccer matches are beyond me. But from what I hear, it's a bucket list thing to do to go to some of these European soccer matches and see it live and be in the crowd and hear the chants. I do love seeing that. And trust me, the World Cup, now Canada's in it, I'm going to be locked in on that as well. But a big game, big champion. The Champions League is bigger than anything in club sports for football. And now Real Madrid gets another win, and just adding another trophy to that mantle is pretty cool. Now, moving on to our golf picks. Going into the Charles Schwab, I was leading 95 to 59. I had Victor Hovland, who was T21. I had Fleetwood, he was T35. I had Morikawa, who was T40. So no points for me. Meanwhile, our good buddy Mike Mazzaro, he had Scottie Scheffler second for 5 points. But he had Zalatoris, who missed the cut, bad putter. And he had Answer, who also missed the cut. So I'm leading now at 95 to 64. And since Mike's not here, I'm going to give it the week off. I'm beating him so bad. You know, maybe that's why he didn't come on the pod this week. Just kidding, Mike. But I want to give you guys some names because I'm telling you, I've been hot. I had Sam Burns, some money on Sam Burns to win this week. Check that. The week before, I had Justin Thomas, and he obviously won the PGA. So I'm back-to-back on picking the outright winners. So I'm going to give you a couple names as we go into the Memorial Tournament, Jack's Tournament. Great course in Ohio. You got the mystique of Jack just being at the 18th green, waiting to shake hands with the winner. We have the whole issue. Remember last year, Rom was leading the tournament by a billion, walking up 18 on Saturday. And as he came off the course, they said, "Hey, bud, you got COVID. You're out." And he couldn't even play. So Cantlay went on to win. So that's what's happened at this tournament. It's huge. We're 2 weeks away from the U.S. Open. We got the Canadian Open. Golf's in a great spot. It's the time to be. So I'm going to give you who I like this week as possible winners. One of the names I just mentioned, he won it last year kind of as a throw-in because of Rom being out. And you know he wants to come back at it and prove that he's good enough to win. And that's Patrick Cantlay. So go get him right now. About plus 1,800 if you can find it. It's a pretty good number for one of the top players out there. This guy, I really like him. I'm pulling for him, but he just can't seem to get through to win a tournament. That's Rory McIlroy. Great Thursday at the PGA, 65, but he just couldn't get it done on the weekend, and he had some struggles getting through there. He is due. He is due. We know he's playing the Canadian Open. He loves that. You know he's playing the U.S. Open. So he's got 3 weeks in a row here, and it starts here. This is a business trip for the next 3 weeks for Rory. So I like McIlroy to pull off a win here at the Memorial. The last one I'm going to give you is a name just a little bit down, but you know what? I've had some success with him. Whether you think maybe he can't win, have a look at him at a T5 or even a T10 because he's always going to be in the mix. And you know he wants a major. And this is where these guys get ramped up for the majors. I'm going to go with Max Homa, plus 4,000 right now. So that's a great number to get him at. But look into it, T5s, T10s. It might be worth a sprinkle because Homa's playing some great golf. Now, after the break, it's time for me to put on my manager's hat. So stick around. We'll be right back after this break.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time to start handing out flowers and nailing butts to the bench in this week's edition of Stardom Benchem. And I was thinking about this one the other day, and it's kind of almost a would you rather question, but you guys can think about it because Mike's not here to bounce and give me the answer. But what's the worst sport to get benched in? You know, something that's really public. Think about it. A starting goalie gets pulled out of the hockey net. Everyone sees him. They got to bring in the new goalie, wait for him to get stretched out, get his helmet on. And then you just sit down on the bench with a hat on. The camera zooms in on you. Some of these rink, the backup goalie's got to go sit. He can't even sit on the bench. He's got to go sit in the tunnel by himself. I mean, get this guy some peanuts or something, a hot dog. So goalie being pulled, a pitcher getting yanked. Manager walks out there. You got to slowly walk off the mound. You know, it's a scene you don't want to be a part of after giving up 3 or 4 home runs and getting lit up in the first inning. Or is it worse to be a quarterback who's being sat because everyone knows who the quarterback is? So when you don't see your starting quarterback out there, you're like, what's going on? Why is our backup in? And then you see that guy hat on, clipboard, just sitting on the bench. It's a good one. I'm not sure what the correct answer is. I think the worst is being a pitcher and getting pulled after getting lit up. That's a bad walk back to the bench. So I'm going to start, and I'm going to start with who I'm starting this week. The French Open is well underway, and the quarterfinals starts on Tuesday night of this week. So I'm starting Rafa Nadal, who beat Canadian Felix Auger-Aliassime in a tough five-set fourth round. But now we all get the match we wanted to see between Nadal and Djokovic. Rafa won the Australian Open to take the Grand Slam lead of 21 with Djokovic and Federer with 20 right behind him. Nadal has had major injuries the last few years, but he's battled back. He's the king of clay. Nadal turns 36 on Friday, while Djokovic turns 35. The two have played 58 times against each other, with the Joker owning the record of 30 and 28. But Nadal, he's 19-8 on clay and 7-2 at Roland Garros against Djokovic. I'm giving Nadal the racket to finish this Joker off in the quarterfinals and go on to win his second Grand Slam of the year. Rafa, you're starting. Now, who am I going to bench? I'm benching Tommy Pham. Who, you might ask? Exactly. Tommy plays for the last place Cincinnati Reds, and this season he is hitting .233 with 5 home runs. He's had a decent 8-year career, but now Major League Baseball has suspended him for 3 games, and I'm benching Tommy as well. Why, you might ask? Well, over the winter, Tommy was in a fantasy football league with a few other MLB players. Pham, who was with the San Diego Padres at the time, saw in the fantasy football group chat that someone sent a GIF chirping the Padres' struggles, and it was from Jacques Peterson, who was playing for the rival Braves at the time. Pham then disputed that Peterson was making illegal moves on his fantasy football roster, including putting a player on the IR that was not hurt. Pham was so upset that he left the league completely. Fast forward to this past week when the Reds, who played the Giants, and Pham confronted Pedersen in the outfield during batting practice and slapped him in the face. He will Smith a guy over fantasy football. Crazy. You're a millionaire. Fighting someone over a fantasy football rules infraction? That is stupid. Also, the app controls the rules. You can't move a player to the IR unless he is classified as being out. Pham, you're wrong about this. You're soft for getting upset over a group chat chirp, and now you're losing money because you're suspended. Have a seat, bud. You're a clown show. Now, each week, Mike and I give you our best bet of the week to help you make some cash. Last week, I had the Cubs in the Thursday afternoon game against those last place Reds, and then they promptly lost 20-5. Well, Mike, he took the layup on a 3-foot basketball net of the Red Sox over the Orioles, and they won 5-3. Now, with Mike out this week, I get the wide open tee to myself to give you the lock of the week. And I'm going to game one of the NBA Finals between the Golden State Warriors and Boston Celtics. Boston just won a tough game 7. They partied, and now they have to travel all the way over to the West Coast to play a well-rested all-star team, essentially, in the Golden State Warriors. So give me the Warriors -3 right now, but I expect that number to move up even further, 4.5, maybe 5.5. So if you're listening to this and it's at 3 or 3.5, get it right now. The Warriors are my lock of the week. Now, listen, this was fun for me getting to play a little solo round all by myself. Now, I don't know if you've actually gone out and played solo golf before, but it's a little weird at first. You're out there, there's no one else, but it turns out to be pretty fun. You can get through it pretty quick, but you find out what kind of person you are when you really go golfing by yourself. Are you going to be the guy that gives bigger gimmies to yourself? Do you re-tee shots that maybe you don't like or that are hit out of bounds? Do you play 2 balls on each hole and figure out, this score was lower, I'm going to take that one? But that's kind of what this was like for me. It was playing a solo round. When I got the news, I was going in by myself. I had to change my mindset, but it was fun. I really did enjoy it. And thank you for sticking around and letting me try to entertain you and talk about sports. I mean, I've said it before, I'm a sports psycho. I could talk sports all day and all night, and I guess I kind of do to some point, and I believe I just proved it kind of by doing it on my own here. So it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. Thank you to all you listeners that stuck with me here today and listened to this episode. Mike will be back next week, and I'm sure he's going to be clowning on me on some of the things I said in this episode, but I really enjoyed it. So thank you very much. Now, we want to hear from you, so make sure to comment on the pod wherever you download your podcast and let us know your thoughts on Twitter and Instagram. We would love the feedback. Was I good on my own? Give me the feedback. Let me know. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter at JABOPod, thestringer.ca, and find Mike and I on Twitter to see our thoughts on all the sports throughout the week. Please subscribe, like, and rate our show, and do us a favor and tell a friend to listen. And as always, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
Oh, yeah.